You're too damn white, guys.
Welcome back to another Too Damn White Guys. I'm Julian Smith.
I'm Andrew Rader.
Today we're going to be talking about a lot of different things that all pertain to what constitutes a legal citizen in a country. What should you have to do? What hoops should you have to jump through to qualify to be able to vote and to participate in a civilization? We're going to be unpacking this kind of in conversation, and we're going to talk about birthright citizenship. We're going to be talking about illegal immigrants. We're going to be touching on some stuff that people have lots of opinions about. So, it should be a fun ride. And Andrew, is there anything I'm missing from this intro that you want to add before we dive in?
Did you want to talk about how this came about?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I should probably tell people why I want to talk about this controversial issue. I found myself in a conversation this week with a friend about this very thing, specifically as it pertains to illegal immigrants and who should be able to vote. And I was, slight spoiler alert here. I was arguing that as long as you're paying your taxes and you're not burdening the system, you should be able to vote whether or not you're a legal citizen. And that was, my opinion. And this conversations like this tend to get really heated. And I don't know why, because people shouldn't get passionate about these topics. I think they're important, but I think, if the issue is important, then there are things you can learn to better educate yourself and your position on these issues instead of just reading whatever Fox News and CNN wants you to believe. So I guess that's kind of the goal here, is to kind of make some sense of it all.
I think it goes back to our ancestral past, because it's kind of an us versus them thing. And it's a very tribal question of like, can these people come over and join our tribe, basically? And so it comes close to a lot of topics we've talked about before.
And this episode must strike a chord with you, because you're currently not a citizen in America and you've been working here for a while. And this must infuriate you that you can't vote.
I don't know, not that much, but it's an important.
Oh, come on, give us the drama, Andrew. We need the drama. Well, you're pissed.
How much is your vote worth? So I once tried to tally this.
That's a good question.
In dollars, like how much your vote was worth. I guess you would base it on the relative influence you have by voting, and it's really complicated. So first of all, I don't think anyone's really computed this successfully, because there's a lot of factors, right?
Electoral college for one.
The gross domestic product of the United States, you'd have to factor in the electoral college somehow. And I guess we're just talking about the federal vote. That's one thing. And then obviously your relative political power, which is one in like 350 million. It's probably some kids there, so maybe one in 300. And then, of course, only about half people actually vote, so it's maybe one in 150 million. But I think it's on the order of a few thousand dollars. That's the relative influence you actually have, something like that. So if you were to sell your vote, don't sell it for less than a few thousand dollars. Although that's illegal, so don't do it at all.
And anybody who's checking out because they think their vote doesn't count, and they, I know a lot of people who don't vote because they just think it doesn't matter and it's not going to make a difference. If you live in this damn country, you should be voting, because you can vote, and you're an idiot if you don't vote.
A lot of countries, some countries, Australia, for example, has a law that you actually get fined if you don't vote. You're allowed to show up and spoil your ballot if you hate everyone, but you have to at least show up and use your voice.
We should be fined in America if you don't vote. And I say this having used to be someone that did not vote and thought my vote didn't matter, but it's just not true. And I've now changed my position on that. I think it's so important to vote, to be educated enough to know what to vote on, instead of not just presidents, like policies and things too. Like, know what you think, know what you're doing, and make some good decisions. So we're going to, without further ado, let's just dive into the episode. We're doing a lot of play up here. So let's dive into the news. Why don't you tell me what happened this week?
Andrew tells Julian the news.
A Massachusetts man came home to find that someone broke into his house.
Is this another Roomba?
No, but it's similar, because the people who broke into his house cleaned his house. So he came home and nothing was missing, but his beds were made and his laundry was done and his floors were swept. And his house
the tidy bandits.
The tidy bandits. What he thinks happened is the cleaners went to the wrong house or something like that. But
that is so funny. He came back and everything's done. He's like, thanks, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And rest in peace, Grumpy Cat. This is actually about a week old, but Grumpy Cat died.
No!
Yeah.
Grumpy Cat. Rest in Grump. Rest Sweet in Cat. Grump.
Yeah. And we, SpaceX just launched 60 satellites. It's the most satellites that we've ever launched in one launch, and heaviest payload.
Wow.
Ever launched. And they're
to did you have anything to do with that one?
Not really, no.
No? Not your mission?
Not my mission.
60 satellites. That's quite a launch.
Oh, and there was a video circulating on Twitter, I think mostly, of Nancy Pelosi, because basically Trump and Pelosi are having this feud right now where each are calling the other crazy.
So what was the video? It's just them calling each other crazy?
So it's a doctored video of Pelosi talking, and it was doctored to make it seem like she's drunk or has, you know, something going on. So, yeah.
Smooth. Smooth move.
And Rudy Giuliani tweeted it, for example, and then deleted it later. So, yeah. They're both basically just calling the other person crazy.
Yeah.
Yay, democracy.
This is the pinnacle of democracy.
Yeah.
This is what a beautiful time
honestly,
to be alive.
I'm a huge fan of democracy, so yeah, really important. But the best argument against democracy is a 5-minute conversation with the average voter.
Why?
That's Winston Churchill. Because you realize, well, this is what we're talking about this episode, like the vote, the franchise, like how important it is. And I do believe it is very important for everyone to have a voice. But, I mean, let's be honest, most people go to the polls not knowing much about anything. I mean, you know, that even educated people may not take the time to learn about the issues, right? So you're putting a lot of power into the hands of people who don't know what's actually going on. Probably better than putting it into the hands of people who do know what's going on and don't have everyone's best interest at heart.
So maybe people shouldn't vote. But we're now changing our position on this. Maybe you shouldn't vote if you don't know enough.
I guess what we're saying is democracy is the is not a great form of government, but it's better than everything else.
Yeah, that actually, I think I've heard that quote. That's a quote,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's similar. It's something slightly different, but I think that's also Winston Churchill. So he had a lot of views on democracy.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a lot of good quotes. That guy was smart.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Good, it's the alcohol.
Good with
it
words.
Makes you more creative. He was drunk all the time.
Yeah, write. You're supposed to write drunk and edit sober.
Ah, good idea. Yeah. But then you're just going to end up deleting everything.
Not if you're this guy. I actually don't like writing and drinking. I like writing and smoking pot, but I don't like writing and drinking. Mm. Drinking just slows me down. But
interesting. Yeah. Sometimes drink when I write. Yeah.
So where do you think it makes most sense to start this conversation?
Well, let's start with what you're thinking, because you were talking about should immigrants have the right to vote? And
yeah.
Yeah. Currently, they obviously don't. Like, illegal immigrants don't. But neither do legal immigrants. I have a green card, not a U.S. citizen, but working on it. And I do not have the right to vote, for example. So I'm being taxed without representation, taxation without representation, which is like the motto for the revolution. Now, basically, it's a probationary period. Like, this is different from illegal immigration. With legal immigration, you have a probationary period. I actually think it's kind of fair. Like, I mean, I don't have a super big problem with that. If you want to join the club, you got to prove yourself first. So I think that's the idea behind it. I think that makes a lot of sense. And this brings me to, whenever I think about this, I naturally think of birthright citizenship, which I think is totally bizarre. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I think it's weird. Because basically, instead
it's weird to be born in a place and be a citizen automatically,
To be granted citizenship automatically based on where you're born is very strange to me, because it's just like geographic location. It's like almost an accident. Like, you can be born on an airplane that's flying over the United States and you would get U.S. citizenship. You could be born on a ship just off the coast of the United States and get U.S. citizenship for doing nothing at all. And if you're not, if you don't have U.S. citizenship, it's extremely difficult to get it. So it's kind of like super bizarre that you're given something that's very valuable. And I actually believe U.S. citizenship is very valuable, but you're giving it out for free for just like where the people have to be at the time. So that's totally crazy to me.
I think it should be like if your parents are citizens, you get automatic citizenship.
Well, that's totally different from birthright citizenship. We're talking about if you happen to be geographically located anywhere in near or over the United States, you are automatically a citizen if you happen to be located in those places when you're born. That's what birthright citizenship means.
See, I'm with you on that one then. I do not think that that makes any sense.
Oh, okay. Well, argument over. We can end this episode, I guess.
If I had a dime for every time we've done
that. No, but there are valid reasons. I mean, for it, I think. It sounds like I'm going to have to argue the other side for it. But basically, I think the idea is we're trying to create a country and a place that's aspirational. And, you know, so I don't really understand the weird geographic quirks about it, but most people are not on an airplane flying over the United States when they're born, or on a ship that happens to be loitering off the coast. So for most people, it's kind of like, if you come to the United States, you're looking for a better life, and your kids should automatically kind of be enrolled in the club for free or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an incentive program. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. But it ties into also who can be the president, because in order to be the president, you have to be naturally born. This came up like with the fake Obama not being born in the U.S. thing. And the reason this is because when the U.S. was formed, they were super worried about Europeans coming over and, like, putting a European king. Because the United States was the first independent country in the Western Hemisphere. And they basically invented the system of government. And this actually happened. It wasn't really an idle threat. This happened in Mexico. This French emperor, Maximilian, came over and said, "Hey, I'm in charge." Je suis en charge. So he just came over and basically declared himself emperor. He thought he had some claim to the throne. So it wasn't impossible for, you know, some European army to come over and, like, conquer the United States and put a king in charge. And this is why they specifically wanted the president to have to be born in the United States, because it couldn't be some, like, foreign potentate who come over and claim to be in charge.
For me, this is mainly about what do you have to do in order to deserve the benefits of living in a place like America? I mean, because right now there's so many people, and this was the argument I got into this week, it wasn't like a fight. It was just like we were debating. But, you know, the debate was over there's so many illegal citizens that are still, you know, paying taxes. They're working jobs, and the company's taking their taxes out for them, and that's going to the government. So in my opinion, I think those people should be able to, you know, vote and things like that. They should get those rights because they're helping the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of it. So there's a number of, you know, counter arguments or kind of issues with that. I think it makes sense to have some kind of probationary period. So we're talking about, I'm right now talking about legal immigration. So I actually think it kind of makes sense to have a probationary period. If you're coming over and earning the right to vote, you should basically adopt the country, the cultural values and things like that. So the United States is kind of a melting pot, and you should basically melt.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So
yeah.
It's, like, I do think it's not something that should be given out for free necessarily, and you should have to kind of prove yourself a little bit. So I think that's pretty reasonable. The paying taxes,
yeah, because it's a capitalistic thing, place.
So this is an interesting question, because the question is, what kind of immigrants do we want, or do we have the right to say yes or no to people? That's the other thing. Like, and who gets to choose that? This is why immigration is such a complicated issue, is because what do you want in immigrants, and does it matter? Because, for example, also with progressive tax systems, people, if they're not earning a lot of money, they're not really paying taxes. So they are benefiting from social services without.
Well, they're offsetting their own burden at the very least.
Yeah, if they're earning money. But often,
right.
I guess the worry is immigrants may end up on, like, financial assistance from the government. So, for example, if you want to come to the United States legally and not through something like asylum or refugee status or something like that, you basically have to prove that you can support yourself financially, that you're not going to be a burden. So if you're trying to immigrate to the United States, there's a number of things you have to do, actually. There's a lot of hurdles you have to go through, because I've actually gone through the process. And you have to have full medical scanning. You have to show that you have all your vaccines. You have to get, like, a chest x-ray. You have to prove you don't have tuberculosis or any significant disease. You have to show financial means, that you won't add up a burden of the government. So there's all these requirements, which, if you're going through the legal process, probably make sense. You know, if you want to join our club, you have to show that you're going to not be a burden on the club, which obviously illegal immigrants totally skip. right? So that's part of the thing about it. And immigrating to the United States legally is pretty damn hard, actually. It's really tough. I've heard this. So to give out something that is difficult for people to do the right way, for free, to people who don't do it the right way, seems a little strange as well. Now, I'm not saying that I actually think there should be a path to citizenship and all that. And it's a tough question, but I kind of understand both sides of this issue, especially having gone through the process, the very difficult process, the right way.
Great. So is your opinion that the process is too difficult right now, or that you think it's, I think it sounds kind of good, but I haven't gone through it, so I can't really say.
I don't know if it's too difficult, and I don't know that I really have the right to say to say whether it's too difficult or not.
But you don't get to vote on it, that's for
sure. Oh, and background check. So this is one thing that I find very strange as well. Anyone who wants to come to the United States legally has to go through extensive background checks, criminal background checks. And I think that makes sense.
How extensive?
Just regular police background checks and things like that. Make sure you don't have a criminal record and that sort of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that actually makes a lot of sense. But it's strange that... Americans don't have to do that. So if you're just born into the club for free, you could be
a mastermind criminal
and no one would ever look into you because you just because of where you happen to be born, which is kind of amazing, right? Like all this geographic stuff, it's kind of arbitrary, I find. But
To be fair, if you're the son or daughter of a criminal, and the crime that your parents have committed is big enough, then you're probably already in some database for the government to keep tabs on or something like that.
Well, no, I'm not saying if your parents are criminals. I think obviously you're not responsible for what your parents did, but, the government has, if you came to the country legally, then the government has all your fingerprints and things like that. So it's just like a higher level of scrutiny, you face all the time. Which American citizens just totally bypass, which is a little bit unusual, right? So bringing up the voting thing, though, I actually don't have any issue with the way the voting system works, the probationary period. Now, I guess the question to me is, what should be the pathway to citizenship if people came here illegally? Because that really answers the question about voting to me, right? Because I actually think it makes sense that non-citizens shouldn't vote. So how do these people, how if you came illegally or your parents came illegally, let's say when you were a child or something like that, this is the DACA thing, how would you become a citizen and therefore earn the right to vote? And I don't really have a good answer for that, but I think there should be something that can be done, right? So, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. I promise. You're kind of making me change my mind here a little bit. So I'm kind of spinning my wheels trying to figure out how to respond because, I was thinking that if you're paying your taxes, you should be able to vote because you're not burdening the system, you're helping it. And that should entitle you to be able to vote. But, this probationary period you're talking about, in kind of proving yourself and joining the club and joining the melting pot, like you said, I think that actually does make a lot of sense only because America is such a unique country and, capitalism is such a strong force here. It's such a part of the foundation and the fabric of the place. So I think people should have to prove that they really want to be here and that they should be here. I think that actually does make sense.
But obviously people who are illegal immigrants don't get that opportunity because it's kind of dangerous for them to do anything like that. So they're in total limbo, essentially, because they can't, they obviously want to stay. And the incentive is for them to try to stay below the radar, right? Because, and that's actually bad because then they're not necessarily, paying taxes and things like that. I mean, I think in a lot of cases they are, but they try to take jobs where they don't necessarily pay taxes and think that sort of thing because it's really tough. Like any employer has to ask for your social security number. And then obviously you're risking revealing yourself to the government and potentially risking being deported and that sort of thing. So we have a system where if you aren't here legally, if you are an illegal immigrant, you try to stay below the radar and then you end up and then that ends up kind of being a self-fulfilling prophecy because then they're not necessarily integrating into society as well. And they're not, doing these things and paying taxes. So it's a really tough problem. That's why it's very controversial. And I don't know that, I certainly don't really have solutions here. I think there should be a pathway that should be kind of negotiated and agreed to by both sides. But the question is also, if you make it too easy, is it just going to encourage people to come here, you know, illegally all the time, right? If it's like, oh, I got to cross the line, I'm safe, right? That's really different. And that's kind of the situation with birthright citizenship.
And whoops, I had a kid.
Right. That's exactly it. Like conservatives years ago were calling this anchor babies. I think Sarah Palin came up with that word, right?
Because you
get across
terrible,
the border,
man.
You have a kid, and then you're like safe, right? Then they can't really deport you as well. I guess they still can, maybe in certain circumstances. But I think we should do everything possible to make illegal immigrants integrate with our society and figure out how to help them not have to go below the radar. But the other question is like, so, and this is something we as a democracy decide, like who can come here, right? And this is a really big thing with the immigration debate today. Like Trump was talking about this new immigration plan, which would be based on points, right? So basically instead of, and let me explain how the current system works. Most people, most immigrants who come here legally are based on a lottery. So every country has like a different number of slots assigned, and then you basically apply, and it's pretty much random. I think there's certain conditions on it. I don't know if you have to show the like the financial support bit of it, which you do for other ways of coming, but probably you do have the health restrictions as well. So you basically have a random chance of coming into the United States, right? And a different number of slots assigned by country. And so it doesn't really take into account education or whether you might be end up as a burden on the system or anything like that. Now, the proposed system that Trump is proposing is based on points. So basically, if you have high education, you have a job, or you're able to get a job easily, then you would have like a bonus or an advantage for coming into the country.
I like that.
Well, okay. So there's arguments for both sides, and I'm not actually sure which I prefer. Okay.
Okay. Give me the options.
Obviously, for the country's, you know, self-interest, from a certain standpoint, it makes sense to bring in people who are educated, bring in people who will contribute more, invent things, employ people, that sort of thing, right? So that's definitely an argument for the point system. And by the way, I think the Canadian immigration system is actually a little tougher than the American one, and they do have a bit of a point system, and so do other countries. So I think it does make sense, you know, you want to bring in doctors and skilled people. However, the argument against it is that it favors countries with high levels of education and prosperity. So, for example, Trump made some comments about he wants people from, like, Norway, right? And Norwegians, of course, do not want to come to the United States. But, right? And so they were all teasing him about, joking about that, how, no, thank you. No, thank you.
That's hilarious. That's but, so Trump. He's like, we want the Norwegians. And they're like, no,
they're
thanks.
Like, no.
We're fine here in Oslo.
Exactly.
We got nothing to worry about.
Right. But so the argument against it is it's not good for diversity. So if you want a good diverse population, and the other thing is not good for like opportunity. Like United States, it used to be you bring us your tired, your cold, your hungry masses, right?
That's true.
Written on
It was also a much less specialized marketplace at that point in time, and it was just pretty much all agricultural workers and people that needed some kind of job. And now it's so specialized. I mean, you're a rocket scientist, and I'm a YouTuber for crying out loud. Like, you know, those jobs wouldn't have existed back then. So it's a much different time than that.
Yeah, and it's hard to say that you know, a point-based system or something that's based on education isn't a little bit racist, right? Because it does tend to be, it favors definitely Europeans, and it favors Canadians and stuff like that.
We want to be clear that this is not about race. Like this whole conversation, there's a lot of potential for people to think we're just talking about, you know, which races should be allowed to live here. And that's not the question. The question is, what is good for the system, and how, you know, how should anybody of any race, including people who had parents that were born here, but like the person themselves was actually born in another country and they're coming back or something like that, you know, how should anybody coming into the country get in? It's not about race. There's so many smart people everywhere. It's not just Europe.
No, that's true. But the people who would be favored by these policies do tend to be, well, they are personally more affluent. They are personally, more skilled. And they do tend to be from countries that are better off, basically, like Europe, and have a higher standard of living. So basically, you know, if you say blanket, we're just going to accept people based on education level or employment or the amount of money they have, you can actually basically like buy your way in or something like that. And it definitely does.
What about China and India? You know, like there's tons of smart people all over the place. It's not just Europe, you know?
Well, absolutely. No question about it. And, China.
I mean, you can say that of any India country, not just China and India.
Than the United States does these days. But, I mean, it definitely skews the immigration based on factors other than population. So, do you want to have like a system where anyone can come in and, you know, what is the purpose of immigration? Is it to help people? Like in the case of the refugees, it definitely is basically to help people, to protect, them, you know, or people who are granted asylum. But is it to help the immigrants or is it to help the country who's accepting them? What is the purpose of immigration?
I think it's 50-50.
Well, I mean, the conservative view, I think, would be, it's our country, it's our club, we get to decide who we let in, right? And we want only the best
but
people,
that's,
or maybe we don't want people
at all.
That's
not the right approach. That's an incorrect approach.
But I totally agree. But
because it's a society, it's social.
I also think it's not totally the other way either, that anyone could just walk across the border and we'll just like say, okay, come on in. Like,
We're talking about individualism versus like socialism, I guess you'd say. Like, are you group mentality or are you individual mentality? And I don't think it's either. Yeah. I think it's both.
The problem is it's somewhere in between, and it's a very nuanced question, and people react very emotionally one way or the other. But it's kind of a difficult question to answer, and so the right approach is probably somewhere down the middle, and you have a pathway that people can do that people can do it. But there's no real answer, and this is why it's tough, and this is why it's one of the big political fights that is.
I think it's only hard for people who take for granted what they have in their society, and they just think that it should be like an inherent gift to everybody there. It's not. I mean, like if you were to picture yourself being a hunter-gatherer, like on your own. That's like you're totally, you have no support. You have no advantage of people around you, a community, nothing like that. Mm. And, you know, you can't go full communism. You can't take that all the way to communism because I don't personally see that working very well. But I think that, you know, the middle road, like some kind of 50-50 split of, it's really like, this is kind of like capitalism versus communism.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that for sure. It's just more, we have a club that we think is pretty good and should we let people into our club or not? it's a tough question. We were talking about how you should earn your right to vote and things like that. The other question is like Florida basically passed these laws recently, which allows, people who are convicted of felonies, I think once they've served their time to vote, not actually while they're in prison. I'm not actually sure about that, which I think is definitely what you should do. If we're trying to rehabilitate people back into society, definitely that's what you should do.
Yeah.
The other question is, does the government get the right to take away your vote if you've committed a crime? I'm not even sure about that, but Sorry, what were
I
you
think
say?
the biggest hang up to me about this argument is that people get so into their own beliefs, their own automatic beliefs about the ideas that they don't even think about the issues at hand. They just have these automatic responses that they regurgitate in the debate. And I think that's not helpful. I think that that in order to deal with the issues, everyone has to be willing to audit their own beliefs and be willing to, you know, compare them against what we know about how immigration has worked in other societies, not just immigration. The question is like, can you know things empirically? Can we empirically say with statistics and science and history that there is an ideal way to implement immigrants or is there not? It can't be subjective beliefs. It's got to be, you know, there has to be some way to go about it empirically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you think about it, every baby that's born into the world is born into the world kind of the same. I mean, they're different genetically a little bit, obviously, but basically like with the same starting point, right? But they get an advantage from who their family is, whether they have wealth or not, and they get an advantage from what country they live in. It's, you know, if you were in the birth lottery and you wanted to be born in any particular country, the United States would be a pretty good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's other places that would also be sort of lucky to be born in, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But
this is like Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, I guess. But if you're born in the United States, it's a huge advantage, obviously, right? And you get citizenship for free. Now, someone who's born in another country who doesn't have opportunities, maybe they're born in a country with a lot of, like, instability, violence, like Guatemala or something like that, I think we would say they definitely have the same, you know, human value, right? Does that mean that, you know, they should be allowed to come into the United States because as a human, they have basically the same rights? Like, it's kind of strange to say no to that.
I don't think so.
Right?
I don't think so, because I see America as a corporation. I see it as an institution, it's so capitalistic that it's almost like a company, the country, you know? So you don't just, if you're a CEO of a big company, you don't just hire anybody that wants a job. Mm. You hire the person that can do the job. And that's how I think it should be here, because it's a capitalistic place. We invented capitalism. I invented capitalism. That's what I'm trying to say.
So basically now you're saying though that, it should be a lottery, or it should not be a lottery based system. It should be based on points. So basically agreeing with Trump's immigration plan.
Well, you know, I'm not the biggest Trump supporter, but I'd be willing to get behind some of his ideas if he's got some good ones. I also I'm not saying it should be entirely based on points. I'm not saying the lottery system is bad necessarily. I think maybe some kind of lottery system would be fair, but I think the points system does make sense. I think it probably should be based on what benefit they're bringing to the country, or we'll call it the company. I like calling it the company, because that's kind of what it is.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a very strong opinion on what the answer should be here. I think it's pretty nuanced and pretty difficult, and it's a tough subject. But maybe a hybrid system, because I think there's value on both sides.
That's what I'm saying. Something like that. Hybrid.
Yeah.
There's so many variables and so many situations that you can't account for in these situations. Like, somebody always gets gypped by these conversations, you know, somebody always gets the short end of the stick.
Remember, and so it's, gypped, you know, racist term.
Huh?
Gypped is a racist term. It means gypsy. No, it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That makes total sense. Gypsy. Wow. That's the end of my
like
using
being
the
around
word
Europe stealing stuff. They steal your handbag and their shoes, which, yeah. Anyway.
Wow. That's crazy. Never knew that.
Yeah, but so the United States does act within its interest to give people citizenship if the bar is pretty high. Like, for example, you can apply for a natural interest waiver. So if you're an eminent scientist, like Albert Einstein or whatever, he can basically say, hey, I'm like a smart dude. you should let me into your country because, like, I'm a smart dude.
Yeah.
I can invent lots of things. So he was granted a national interest waiver. So there are a lot of I think he might have been just granted free citizenship right away. And a lot of people have suggested that people come to the United States to study at advanced universities, and they usually go home because it's really challenging. I was an international student studying in the United States, and it's really challenging to come to the United States, earn like an advanced degree, and then be told, well, sorry, you can't get a job here, so you have to go back home. And that may
so
not
what
be
have people suggested?
Well, that may not be in the interest of the country. So if some people have suggested that, you know, any international student that comes and earns an advanced degree should get, like, stapled to their degree a green card. So you should grant, you know, free immigrant status to anyone who comes as international students. That has some merit. Obviously, it's in the interest of the country to some extent, interest of those people to some extent. But again, then you're not sort of encouraging the diversity. So there's an argument from the other side that it shouldn't necessarily be based on these elite qualities, right? Because we're definitely advantaging the smart people, the elite people, if we approach citizenship or immigration in that matter, right? So I think there is.
Well, this kind of comes back to what we were saying a second ago about, like, can you prove things empirically and is that good for the system? You know, I think that it's tough because society, I guess the idea of civilization is like to make life easier for people. So on one hand, it's like a public service, it's a public service. But on the other hand, you know, capitalism is such a motivating force and it's created so much good in the world. So, you know, it's like half civilization is like half a public service and it's half a boss of some kind or something like that. So, you know, I kind of have mixed feelings about this whole like only bringing in people based on points and merit and education, because I think on one hand it drives progress, but on the other hand, it is kind of exclusive. So it's tough. I don't know.
The other
it's
thing tough. Is we're kind of prejudging people if we base it on factors like education and wealth and things like that, because throughout the history of the United States, some of the people who have made the biggest contributions have come from basically nothing. That's like the American
That's
dream
true.
Where you start from zero. And then, you know, if you actually grow up poor, you probably have more incentive to achieve. And you definitely have more barriers
That's a good point.
As well, and it's a lot more challenging. But a lot of people who have contributed the most are famous for starting from basically zero. And so if you have seen a lot of hardship, you have a lot of incentive to apply yourself, to work hard, to earn your spot in society. So I think actually, you know, those are some of the most valuable immigrants, and it's hard to tell ahead of time what the potential of someone is. So even from the standpoint of benefit to the country, it's not necessarily true that you just want to base it on people's education. So yeah.
So then maybe we should be casting a wide net then. Maybe it should be part lottery, part points based, part maybe it's just like all kind of like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I guess that's sort of what I would think is that, I mean, it's really tough to come into this country, and we should make it a little easier for people who have skills and education.
Yeah, I agree.
This
yeah.
Country. But I'm not totally against the idea that there should be some kind of lottery system for diversity also. The problem is it sounds like we're kind of increasing the general flow of people or something like that, which also wouldn't play very well in politics. So, I mean, maybe, yeah. So what's the problem with like more people coming in? I don't know. I mean, I do think that you can't just have like a sudden rush of unlimited people, because you have to be able to provide services. You can only grow at a certain rate that without like incurring instability and that sort of thing. So,
yeah, that still doesn't that doesn't change my stance on you shouldn't be a burden on the society. If you're here illegally or legally and you're burdening the system, something's got to change. That is one issue I can't get away from, is like if you're here and you're not paying for your own way and you're, you know, you're taking things from other people. That's not fair.
Immigration is kind of a pact or a bargain. And it's that people come here and we need to find ways to integrate them and accept them and accept differences and sort of melt. The pot has to melt. But it works both ways. And those people also have to, I think, kind of respect the place that they're coming to and the... you know, they can be different, obviously, and, you know, we should celebrate differences. But at the same time, you know, they have to kind of assimilate to some extent and sort of follow the rules of where they're coming to. So it's kind of
right.
Like this. It's a street that goes both ways.
I think that's totally true. And, you know, we both live in America and we're not British. I mean, essentially, probably somewhere back we are. But, you know, we've melted, as I guess the point. So if you come here, you have to melt, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah. Interesting facts. Fun facts time.
You've got fun facts?
Fun facts.
I love fun facts.
Yeah, Chester A. Arthur, president in the 1800s, may not have been born in the United States. It's very unclear. He may have been born.
Collusion.
He may have been born in northern Vermont. So that was the first birther scandal, so to speak.
Interesting.
It's unclear because his mother was French Canadian and they lived on a town right on the border. And I think they kind of moved back and forth a little bit. So it's unclear whether Chester A. Arthur was born in Canada or the United States. Also, the American space program, going to the moon and stuff, was started by German rocket scientists who worked for the Nazis and were granted free American citizenship and forged papers. That's called Operation Paperclip.
No. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy.
So the American government does give people free citizenship if it thinks it's in its best interest.
So what do you think? You want to take it to Earth to Damn White Guys? You want to do it?
Sounds good. Yeah.
Earth to Damn White Guys. Earth to Damn White Guys.
So the question I asked on Twitter was, does birthright citizenship make sense? And So to be clear, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's nuanced, and I'm not sure whether it's a good thing or not. I think in general, most of the time it's a good thing, but there's some weird outliers, like being born yeah. on a plane or being born on a ship offshore. Mm-hmm. Also, like I know some Canadian friends who basically come to the United States to have their babies just because then the baby gets free American citizenship and then they just go back to Canada.
Right. Like,
the intention of living there is just like down the road, it opens opportunities and then they can.
That's gaming the system.
Well, the system is asking to be gamed if it's just like birthright citizenship. I mean, that's the thing. It's
right.
There's a lot of weird outliers, right?
Yeah.
So I do think it's weird, even if it on average is good. Anyway, mm-hmm. So the question was, though, does it make sense? Which I would kind of say no, but I'm not saying it's bad. But anyway, I'm in the minority because 75% of people said yes and 26% of people said no. So 74%
wow.
of people said it does make sense. But anyway, I
it's
think,
not
you
often
know,
that we disagree with our listeners.
Yeah. Although Chris Castile said question isn't specific enough. I just picked one. Skip Tavakulian says citizenship is defined by geography as a form of tribalism. Every human has the right to live anywhere. So that's actually like... I mean, you know, the extreme version of this...
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, right. So the extreme version of this on each side is we should totally... One extreme version is we should totally get to decide who comes here, no questions asked. Like, if we want to, say, turn you away because you're the wrong religion or race or whatever, that's up to us, right?
Yeah, that's also not the answer.
It's totally extreme on one side. The other extreme is people should be able to live anywhere they want in the entire world, which also is probably not the right answer. So that's why...
These are extremes.
Is Phil W1776, so clearly a fan of the Declaration of Independence and football and rockets, according to his profile. Just try to become a Swiss citizen, not easy. Dropping a kid there doesn't hack it. So he's saying that, no, it is not a good thing. Because, you know, most countries in the world make it much harder to become a citizen. Actually, one of the interesting things, if you look at a map of birthright citizenship, birthright citizenship is an almost exclusive New World phenomenon. So all of North America and most of South America, all but Colombia, have birthright citizenship. So if you're born there, you become a citizen. No questions asked. Mm. Almost mm. nowhere else in the entire world has it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's really strange because the Americas are kind of like an immigration culture. They're relatively new relative to the rest of the world in terms of at least... Most of the population, obviously, there's Native Americans and stuff like that. But
this actually makes sense considering the foundations of America and how we left Britain and like
right.
Europe is like really exclusive and they're like, we want to control everything. And like we left and we're like, okay, this is like everybody's place. Anybody can come here. You know, it kind of makes sense.
Immigrants, right? So it's a slippery slope
exactly.
to saying like, oh, the land all belongs to the Native Americans, right?
The origins of America is like a slippery slope because, you know, not only was it founded by immigrants and not only is it now a very different place than it was back then, but also we took it by brute force from the Native Americans, mm-hmm. which was really kind of shitty. So it's kind of hard to like say what we should be doing based on old ideals, which were really bad, you know?
Right. Yeah. But if you look at the rest of the world, basically nowhere else has birthright citizenship. So your parents have to be citizens for you to become a citizen. Obviously, there's some exceptions and things like that. But basically, the blanket rule for most of the world is your parents have to be citizens to become a citizen. But for the Americas, it's basically if you're born here, you're a citizen. So it's
right.
There's a really strange divide, and it's not an obvious question, but it is much more difficult. In a lot of countries, Switzerland is one of the most difficult, I think, to become a citizen. I think even if you're like second or third generation, you may not necessarily be a citizen.
Interesting.
So we've got a lot of extremes on one side or the other. The Screever says, in nationality, we've come to a point in the evolution of our society where nations are doing more harm than good. Time for a one world government. This is, obviously, if this could work, I think it would be a good idea. It's like...
The one world government? I've thought about
this. It's like United Federation of Planets. The problem is humans are, by their nature, competitive and tribal. And, you know, I think this is a utopian idea that we're not ready for or couldn't really work today. I always thought when I was younger that, damn, I wish there were aliens, because at least then we could all unify together into one planet, because we'd have like aliens to like measure ourselves against.
We need a common enemy.
Yeah, kind of, yes. Unfortunately, people do band together against common enemies. So, yeah.
We need an asteroid.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I find really bizarre about U.S. citizenship is if you want to become a U.S. citizen, you have to pass this test, right? Which is about civics, so understanding how the U.S. government works, which is hilarious because most U.S. citizens definitely could not pass.
Have no idea. Yeah, I'm with you.
So there's a total double standard for immigrants. Well, I mean, people who come to the country illegally are generally, you know, they have to pass through all these hoops. They have to get background checks and medical screening, and they have to know things about the government and stuff. So, you know, they're kind of, in some ways, the people you would definitely want to be citizens. Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see what people think when we actually post this and sort of challenge the idea.
I don't think we've said anything too polarizing, but I think it's crazy that we disagree with most of our listeners. I can't believe 72% said makes sense.
74% think that birthright citizenship makes sense.
I think it makes no sense. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, I think it's not necessarily the wrong thing to do. I think it might even be the right answer, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the world is it's a really crowded place. And I shouldn't even put the word unfortunately in front of that. But I guess the reason I did is because it does make economics really tricky when there's that many people in one place. And so I think we've got to be careful how many people we can't just have no process for it. There's got to be some kind of process, but you obviously don't want to make it too strict. And I think it's probably too strict in some ways right now, and probably too lenient in some ways. And, you know, this whole thing is a mess. So it's
tough,
you know,
too, because this gets back to our question about nationalism, or patriotism rather. And, you know, why should the well-being of Americans be viewed as more of a benefit than the well-being of people from other countries?
It doesn't have anything to do with well-being, in my opinion.
Right? Well, it kind of does, because we're saying like we should limit immigration to make sure that they're not a burden. Well, I mean, if it's going to help people on average, like if you measure the happiness or well-being of everyone, and it's a step towards improving the happiness or well-being of others in general, doesn't it make sense from a moral standpoint that they should be allowed to come?
To me, it doesn't, because I view this country as a company. And I think, you know, if you're not doing your job, you get laid off.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree with that. But again, it's nuanced, and that's a little
it is nuanced.
Harsh. First viewpoint as well. So yeah,
I'm speaking like Donald Trump right now. You're fired. You know, I'm taking the Trumpian. I'm summing it up in one short sentence, obviously, but I'm not trying to be insensitive or pretend that there's not nuanced situations. Obviously, there are. That's what makes this conversation tricky. But we're not trying to be insensitive. You know, I think capitalism is probably the culprit here, because it's such a unique system, and America has really benefited from it, and to discount that would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, there's something there. I'm not exactly sure. There's definitely a link. It's not direct, in my opinion, but there's definitely a link.
Well, this was quite a chat that had several turns I didn't expect, and I've actually changed my position on birthright citizenship because of it. So it was worth it on that alone. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you want to help us out, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love those. They're so helpful. And you can follow us on Twitter if you want. I'm at Julian Was Here. Andrew is at Mars Raider. And we do these episodes every Monday, and we hope to have you back next week.
Thanks for listening.